Welcome to the Art and Science of Joy podcast. This podcast is all about inspiring people to live more joyfully. So if you're seeking a bit more joy in your own life or seeking to bring some more joy to the lives of others, then this podcast could well be for you. And welcome to the Year of Joy series, in which I talk to experts on special powers, which we call joy superpowers, each and every one of us can cultivate in order to build more joy into our lives. I'm Andrew Cannon, and I have the pleasure of being your host. And today, I'm excited to be talking with Raina Whittaker about the joy superpower of belonging to community. Raina is the president and founder of Being Tribal, the author of Being Tribal, Practicing Life in One Degree Shift. Raina is a recognized expert on building sustainable tribes, personally and professionally, and has been coaching executives on corporate teams for over a decade. She's nearly finished with her second book, Inspired Leadership. And Raina is a proud wife, mother, sister, friend, and grandmother. And she's deeply proud of her Chinook Indian and Italian heritage and truly believes anything is possible, which is something I share. So welcome to the show, Raina.
Thank you so much, Andrew. I am really thrilled to be here.
It's going to be a wonderful conversation. You know, we've talked a bit before and I'm so excited to be talking to you today again. So let's start with talking about your book, Being Tribal, Practicing Life in One Degree Shifts. But let's get into a definition, I think, to start with, you know, because it could mean something to different people. So what do you mean by being tribal?
Being tribal has two different meanings. One, being tribal is really about how to cultivate a powerful community, creating a culture of empowerment and advancement without competition in that community. Whether it's women, whether it's men, whether it's corporate tribes, personal tribes, or really focused tribes, not just on life or joy, but maybe it's an endeavor that you're trying to focus on and you gather others, rising each other together in that empowerment advancement towards that goal. The second part of being tribal is the acronym of tribal, which is trust, respect, investment, belonging, accountability, and leadership. And each of those pieces affect us personally, how we have self-trust personally, and then how we cultivate and grow trust in our tribes, and so forth and so on.
Different elements you can combine together then. I love the way you've made the acronym from the word tribal. It just fits so perfectly with that. So a lot of collaboration rather than competition within the tribe, I presume.
Absolutely. And it's important to start with yourself first, because that old saying, your vibe attracts your tribe, is true. Because when we elevate ourselves, our own belonging of ourselves, we attract those who are also vibrating at a higher frequency. So that vibe is really important.
So it's the sort of the energy you put into this is what you also get out.
One of my former mentors said, the energy from which you create informs the energy of what you create. And that's so true.
Yeah, I definitely find that, you know, and it's when you think about the projects that you run and the ease or the difficulty with which those projects have moved forward or things have been built, very much the energy to seem to define that ease versus struggle, I find.
And before the pandemic, before the additional stressors, there's ease and grace, there's frustration, but navigating through it, and then there's hair on fire, crazy making. And I feel like those have been compressed into just either ease and grace or hair on fire. And so part of our work in cultivating tribes is creating true ease and grace, flowing with the energy, clear path forward, direction, and sitting in presence with yourself.
Sounds so much nicer than being in a volcano.
Yes.
Excellent. And I love your subtitle, the sort of the One Degree Shift. So tell me a little bit about that. Why is that so important, do you think?
We have expectations that we should be excellent right out of the gate. So if I want to run a 5K marathon and I've never walked a mile, but I expect that somehow if I put on the right shoes or the clothes, tomorrow I can run that 5K marathon and not just run it, but like win it.
Mm-hmm.
We're setting ourselves up for failure. 1 degree shifts is actually accelerating our success. If we know we're focusing on one thing at a time in a 1 degree shift, and we map out today or this week, I'm going to do this one thing and I'm going to move the needle on it. The culmination of 1 degree shifts actually creates sustainable change. Mm-hmm. It creates success in that change. And the other things you are also working on that are kind of below the priority of that one thing also begin to change, because naturally, as human beings, we are beautifully built with divine energy and divine gifts to be able to have success in our lives if we go slow to go fast. And that's what 1 degree shifts are.
Mm. No, I like it, because sometimes I find myself getting caught up in these expectations, and I can sort of see the goal that I'm aiming for. And sometimes, yeah, I try to jump like 45 degrees or whatever at the same time and end up falling flat on my face in the process.
And then we penalize ourselves with terrible self-talk about our failure. We have a top 40 playlist in our head, a DJ up there who's spinning old stories about how we're not good enough. And this eliminates that process, or I should say it quiets that process and also replaces those negative self, you know, limiting beliefs into abundant thoughts of, oh, I can do this because I'm going slow and I'm rewarding myself for the success I see.
Brilliant, brilliant. So what was your motivation for writing the book? What lit your fire to do this?
When I started writing this book, it was going to be a workbook. And I had been coaching women and men professionally and personally for free for years, kind of just learning. It wasn't something I intended to do. I started out as a mentor, and then people came to see me as a coach. And what I realized was the individuals that had a tribe around them, individuals that were rooting around them, all growing and gaining towards success, towards empowerment and advancement together, were the most successful. And I knew that tribes of women who I'd been surrounded by in my life and my own journey of healing had really made a difference with me. And I didn't call them tribes at the time.
Right.
I actually was afraid to use that term, tribes, mm-hmm. because it has such a, you know, interesting connotation here in the States, where we have been tribes from the beginning of mankind. We've all started in tribes. So when I started thinking about how important it was to have tribes in our life, I realized that it expedited or accelerated the change we had, because we get out of our head of those limiting beliefs and we have those around us saying, absolutely, you can do that. You'd be so great at this. What about this idea? So we're all lifting each other together. So that is why I thought, I'm gonna meet with some neurosciences I know, because I worked in healthcare.
Right.
And I'm gonna understand how neurons wire and fire together and how we change habits and behaviors, and emotionally, how through energy healing, through Reiki, through prayer, meditation, through journaling, all these things you hear about, how to use those as really powerful tools to move our lives forward, just in those 1 degree shifts, but not doing it alone. We don't have to do it alone. At Being Tribal, we have four key principles. One is you have to show up in love. Love conquers hate every day. And love is compassion and empathy, understanding we all have the same and common ground. Love. The second principle, truth, I may add, the second truth is you have to love yourself first. And even though that may sound selfish, it's actually self-full. We have to fill up our own cup. It's our connection to spirit, our connection to energy, our connection to faith and meditation and prayer, filling up our own cup. So then we can be of service to the world with our gifts. So showing up in love, being selfful. The third is we need each other. We've been tribal for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. We need to have folks around us to lift each other up for accountability, for compassionate truth telling, and just to know that we are surrounded by people who love us and care about us. And so showing up in love, being selfful, having a tribe around you, when you have those three things, the fourth truth is everything is possible in life. Mm. Everything is possible.
I love it. I love it. I mean, I think it does amaze me. That's probably a topic for another podcast. Why, you know, when tribe is our natural state, have we built a world where we're being individualistic and at a max in a sort of a family unit, and we're not taking advantage of all the benefits that being tribal gives, and the power that gives us above. So we're not going to go down that road today in terms of the forces behind that, but let's focus on, I love the fact you talked about some of the science, because obviously here at the Art and Science of Joy, we're very keen on promoting not only the feeling of joy, but also the science behind it. So tell us just a little bit about some of the things you learned when you dived into the science of being tribal. What are the benefits you could see?
That sense of belonging and being in a tribe is critical to our mental health. It's critical to knowing that other people around us know us, care for us, and are easing our way, just like we're doing that for them. It's important to know that we have a sounding board when we feel like our lives are falling apart and others are around us, not necessarily to fix our problems, but to just hold space for us. I think that's very important. I also know that we have patterns of behavior, often self-limiting or self-deprecating, these routes, well-used roads in how our neural pathways actually fire, and then we create these patterns in our conscious and subconscious minds. So when we want to change our behaviors, understanding that if you have a habit or a behavior that you've learned over time, it takes about 50 times for that pattern of behavior to really be hardwired into our wiring, so to speak. But if you want to change that habit or behavior, it takes 500 times to reroute that or rewire. So being intentional is really about changing our pathways, our behaviors, our belief, and our thinking. That includes what we think and what we believe, as what we act and what we do, to change how we wire and fire our behaviors together. And it changes our neural pathways and how we actually can accelerate our goals in life, how we can get there with joy and with love, right? Because that's a key proponent of it.
It's amazing, you know, and I think about that number 50, and I think on one level, it's an incredibly small number. And then on another level, it's an incredibly high number. And I'm trying to work out, you know, in terms of behavior change, you know, especially if you're trying to do something alone, you know, 50 chances to stumble, right? 50 chances to pick up that cigarette again, or whatever the thing you're trying to change in your life. And having that tribe, I presume, makes it easier to A, not stumble, but if you do stumble, to get up more quickly and to dust yourself off, or have them help you dust yourself off and get going.
And when you're helping other people in your tribe, you're helping yourself too, right? Mm. When you're joyful and supporting and empowering someone else, you're joyful and supporting and empowering yourself too. It's this beautiful circle.
It is. And that was one of the things we did in the Joy community towards the end of last year in the Year of Joy community. We put into place this Joy Buddy program where people were able to find somebody within the community to have as like a buddy, a community accountability partner, more or less. And just the fact that they were talking once a week definitely improved their experience and the amount of joy they felt, for sure.
Yes, absolutely. And joy can accelerate, love can accelerate just as fast as ugliness of hatred or bigotry. If we focus on joy and we focus on love, that can accelerate just as fast. It's in the intentionality of really keeping in that high energy state.
Well, that's right, you know, because we've got a lot of communities, obviously a lot of social media platforms, which, you know, in essence have all the possibilities to create these tribes, but they don't necessarily end up achieving that. And then again, that's maybe another conversation for another day. You know, we know from our research, a lot of people struggle with loneliness. They struggle with connectedness. They struggle with, you know, believing they belong. So if we think about those people to start with, and people, you know, lacking that genuine sense of belonging, how do they start? How do they go about finding their tribe? Where's a good place to start?
There's a list I have. I think it's on my website, beingtribal.com. And if it's not, I'll add it to the free downloads. And it really is making a list. Think about this. Left hand, right hand. Left hand, make a list of everyone in your life that you know that brings you energy. Like when you meet with them or you tell them what's going on in your life and they're excited about it or they are cheer you on. Those are people who are potential tribal members in your life.
Right.
Now, on your right hand, all the people that when you spend time with them, maybe you feel exhausted, you need a nap. Mm. Or when you bring up an idea of what you want to do, there's always the, I want to play devil's advocate with you and tell you all the reasons why it's not going to work. Mm. These are people that shouldn't be in your tribe. Even if their family, I actually say don't have family in your tribe, but even if they are close friends, I want you to feel, what energy do I get when I'm with these individuals? Mm. Now, if it's two or three, start there. That's a great number. Tribes don't have to be more than 10, more than 8 even. Tribes can be something that you can gather together online or virtually, but start with the people who bring you wonderful energy. Mm. I also say, build your tribe like a stone wall, not a brick wall. Please don't find cookie cutter individuals that fit into this narrow, square, rectangular shape. Find people that are beautifully different energy and sizes that are all positive, but they have different gifts. So I always think about stone wall versus brick wall.
That idea of, you know, because sometimes I think, as you said, tribes can be misunderstood as, can people try and create tribes of people like clones, right? Instead of embracing that different people can bring different skills to the tribe, can elevate it, give new ideas. Doesn't have to everybody be the same.
Yes. Yes. It's so important. Some of the most beautiful tribes I've had, and I've had many tribes, I create tribes all the time for different purposes. And I've had a tribe of women and a co-ed tribe for years now, and we connect quite frequently. And we come together, we may connect once a month, but we come together more frequently when one of us needs some love, right? We gather because we know each other so well. It's like that friend that you haven't spoken to in 2 years, but the second you get on the phone with that person, it's like yesterday you were just together.
Yeah.
It's that kind of energy. It's very important to think about what feels right to you. Trust your gut. And in the very root of the trust, respect, investment, belonging, accountability, and leadership is really holding space. How does this feel to me? Mm. Building self-trust to know, how does this feel to me? Because if we don't listen to that voice, Andrew, we self-abandon over and over again. So when we go back to your question of, what about those individuals who are really isolated and we see a predominant amount of them, especially in that 20 to 30 range right now, where they are super depressed, they have high anxiety. Being alone is such a dangerous place to be when you need help. Asking for help is courageous, and stopping to say, who are the people in my life that I can count on who bring me good energy and joy, and I feel like I can rest in their energy, and say, I want to create a tribe. I need someone right now. Can you help me? In the book, Being Tribal, Practicing Life in 1 Degree Shifts, I actually have kind of a script of what to use when you try to build a tribe. But in a time of a space where you're just really having a rough time, They can, and I always put on every presentation I do around the country when I speak, a QR code, just hop on a call with me. It's free. Just go to beingtribal.com or Rena at Being Tribal and grab 15 minutes with me and I can help them. It's completely free. I mean, I want to make sure that there isn't one more person who's left alone. Yeah. Andrew, personally, you know, we have 6 adult children and 9 grandchildren. And one of my daughters went through a time where she was so alone. My child, right? Went through a time where she was so alone, so depressed, so sad. And that's what we did, is I helped her get there. But boy, it's hard to watch when you have a young person who's struggling.
Yeah. Yeah. As you said, there's a lot of it in today's world, unfortunately, where a lot of young people are struggling with that. And thank you so much for offering that. We'll definitely put that link where people can reach out to you if they're feeling that and take you up on that 15 minutes and see if you can start them on the journey. And I think, you know, 1 degree shifts, right? So, you know, start with a tribe of 2, then it becomes 3 and so on. Yeah. You don't need to start with a tribe of 500, right? So, you know, just do it one step at a time. Okay, so let's shift a little bit and think about maybe you're in a tribe of some, you know, in a community that exists already. Work is a perfect example, right? If you can't choose your family, quite often you can't choose your work colleagues either. So you're in this community, let's say a work, or you might be volunteering in an organization or something, you know, where you're together with other people. You might be studying with a group of other students, but you don't feel it's tribal. You feel it's, you know, just blah. What can you do? What responsibility can you take as an individual within that group to start making it more of a tribe?
It's creating that belonging in that group, in that work group, that study group, that student group, whatever that may be, that volunteer group that you mentioned, and posing the question of curiosity, what would it be like if we all felt like we had each other's back? Like, what would it feel like if we leaned in and just said, I really want to know you, I really want to care for you, and I want to ease your way, I want to create ease and grace. What would it feel like if we had this energy of knowing each other, caring for each other, and easing each other's way? What would that look like? And I think showing up in curiosity in any conversation is always a great way to start, rather than assuming what someone's going to respond to you when you ask a question. So I would always start there. Like, what if we had more belonging? What would that look like to all of us?
That's a great question. I remember we talked just before we started the show about David Meltzer, one of our other experts. And one of his favorite saying is, be interested rather than interesting. So having that curiosity about the other person, having that empathy towards their situation, asking them how their day is going. And one of the questions we ask is, what brings you joy? We're going to get to that to you in a minute. But before we do, I am very curious to ask about your new book. So please tell us a little bit about that. Where is it at the moment in the process? What inspired you? What's it all about?
I love creating personal tribes. It's something I've always really enjoyed. It's one of my joys. And when I've been keynote speaking and consulting across the country here in the States, one of the things I love doing is talking about knowing your gifts and what your gifts are. We're all divinely created. We have these beautiful gifts to share. And when I shine my light of empowerment and excitement and joyful and curiosity and the work I'm doing in building tribes, I shine my light out, right? I'm lighting up someone else and watching other people light up with their, that is my gift. Oh, that is my gift. Oh, I understand now, I can use my gift. So we do lots of different things in my keynotes. So this book is about inspired leadership in that same tribal model, like how in your team, in your leadership style, whether you're an individual or you're whatever level you are in management or frontline, how you create that true trust in an organization, how you create respect in an organization, which is all about boundaries, how you create investment in each other and yourself, always starting with yourself first. That belonging is really important in how you create deep relationships that are compassionate truth-telling relationships, right? That have communicated expectations, which we aren't very good at in our country, right? Accountability of how we're going to get from here to there together in a collaborative way, and servant leadership, which is so important in training new leaders to rise up. So Inspired Leadership is really a leadership book with the principles of being tribal. And it's also about identifying your gifts and how you shine out into the world to light up others. Imagine everyone lighting up each other in a positive way with our gifts. That's what it's all about.
That is so inspiring. And it's, I know somebody who has struggled to find my own gifts, how challenging that can be. You know, we think it's something else, and we realize that we're not feeling happy, we're not feeling fulfilled when we're misaligned with that. So, you know, I think it's super important that you're tackling that issue in addition to that leadership angle. So congratulations. When's it going to be out? Do you know yet, or is it still in the pipe?
I keep on saying it's a month away. And you know how it is writing a book, it's editors. I would say, I'm hoping it'll be out by the 1st of November. I would love for it to be out next week. And as you know, I painted the cover of my first book, and I'm painting the cover of my second book. So that's part of the process for me, because when I'm painting it, there's some magic, there's some other downloads I get, and I'm like, oh, I got to put that in the book. So, yeah.
Well, this is fantastic. It's super exciting. November, it's going to come very quickly. So we're certainly within the community. We will post that when it comes out and give people the link so they can access that then. And we have you back to talk about that as well, as we look about community and belonging at work, because it's super important, as you said, no matter where you are in the organization. You know, everybody at one level has self-leadership to take care of, but then also many people, whatever level are there, have a team that they're in, and having that degree of leadership within that, whether it's running a project or running the whole department, it doesn't really matter. Everybody can shine, everybody can move forward together. So thank you so much, Raina, for taking the time to talk with me today. Before we go, our last signature question, which I alluded to, which is really, what brings you joy?
What really brings me joy is watching other individuals become aware of their path of greatness, watching others light up with understanding, oh, I do have great gifts. I see my future. I am connected now with what my purpose is here. There's so many ways to be connected to purpose. Understanding what your gifts are and know that you are divinely created to be this beautiful light giver as a human being. We all have this beautiful light soul inside of us, and we just have to allow it to shine. It's really allowing it. So that's my joy, is to sit with 5 people or 2,000 people and watch them go, oh yeah, that aha moment. I'm so grateful that I get to do this. I feel like I get to play in this space of uncovering, unveiling individuals' opportunity to shine. And that is gorgeous.
Well, you're certainly shining your own light as you help others shine. So thank you very much on behalf of everybody for you doing that. And you're certainly found your purpose, and you're letting your light shine brightly, like a beacon of joy. So thank you for doing that. And thank you for taking the time to talk with me today, Raina. It's been such a pleasure and a joy chatting with you today.
Thank you, Andrew. It has been an honor and a pleasure. I always love talking with you. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I hope, listeners, you enjoyed this podcast episode as much as I have. And I hope you've been inspired to cultivate your joy superpower of belonging and community. If so, please check out the show notes for links to Raina and her resources. And if you're not already a member of the Year of Joy community, please visit our website, theartandscienceofjoy.com, to find out more and join. It's a fantastic free resource that can maybe help you find your tribe, a tribe of joy. Who knows? And thanks once again for listening. And I hope you tune in for the next episode of the Art and Science of Joy podcast. Until then,